We've entered into a new sermon series this year, and we're in the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to study this or look over it, but Pastor Benny started this last week, and it's kind of exciting to venture into a new area of understanding of God's Word and studying this together as the church, and the idea of choosing life. And Pastor Ben talked about this idea of an abundant life, you know, these principles that we can gain from looking at this book. And this Old Testament book really harkens to a lot of New Testament teaching as well. We talked about how Jesus brought up a lot of wisdom and life choices to live by in this book. And so there's an opportunity here not just to look back towards the Old Testament here, which we, you know, call old, and it's a long time ago, but it is for today too. It is for the opportunity to learn as Jesus taught us too in his days, but also to challenge us for today as the church, as the people of God, to choose life, to choose our lives, to choose this abundant life that I think Moses will kind of talk about and walk through. And that's a challenge for us. I think Pastor Benny kind of started this off with, are we listening? Are we intent on listening to the words here given to us? The opportunity to take action with that listening, with those thoughts as well. So that we will learn to do that this series, to listen well, to listen intently to what God might be speaking to us. And this is an opportunity for us to choose the life that he intended for us, that God intended for us through this book. I'm gonna set the scene for us this morning. I have a lot to cover. Got two chapters here to kind of walk through, and it is daunting. But the Israelites is kind of the main focus here. Moses is speaking. Deuteronomy is a series of Moses' words to the Israelites. They're now on the brink of walking into the promised land. If you think about where they are kind of almost into present-day Israel, but kind of hanging out in what is now present-day Jordan, right? They're east of the Jordan River, about to cross over into this promised land. They're close by. They kind of see the land that they're about to enter here. And Moses takes this opportunity. He pauses before the people after kind of wandering for a long time and speaks to them, reminds them of a number of things. Helps them understand this. And so I have a map for us this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I will have a map for us this morning. But Moses pauses to talk about where they have come from, where they have been. And so before they enter, there have been 40 years that the people have been walking, 40 years they've been wandering through this desert. And he sits them down and helps them remember their experiences. This is where we are. This is where we've come from. This is what we should remember. And so we talk a little bit about history in this way. Moses begins kind of this series of sermons with history. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of history. I'm sorry for those of you who are history teachers. I apologize. In college, I took a class with one of my friends who's in this room, and he will tell you that I fell asleep many days in class. I just can't do history. I sit there and I think about dates and facts and names and places, and I'm like, what does this all have to do with anything? Why is this even important? But there are so many times, I think, where looking back is extremely important. The opportunity that Moses takes to do this and the way that we're going to look at this is very important as he begins this chance to talk and speak to this generation, to this new generation, as they've been journeying, as they've been walking. So let's journey back with them together and to see how we might learn also, how we might see not just what's behind us, what we've come from, but also to look ahead and learn for the future. And so I'm gonna title this, as you can see in your program, Welcome to History Class. And I hope that doesn't stir up some ideas or memories that you might have, difficult memories that you might have of history class. History class, and just like any other class, has many things to it. There are many aspects to class that we are going to walk through. And so we're going to look at what that means and what that looks like through various assignments, tests, and a final project, of course. Before we begin, I know this quote is very popular about history, and it says this, right? Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. This is a, a Spanish philosopher and poet named George Santayana. This holds true to even our message this morning. If we don't consider where we've been, what we've experienced, right, the negative connotation here is that we are condemned to repeat it. We're doomed to repeat kind of our past mistakes, is what this alludes to. And I think this is what Moses kind of alludes to also in doing this. The opportunity to walk with the Israelites, the people of God, to show them and to help them remember what's important here. What should we be focused on? What are we aiming towards? And they get a chance to look back, to learn, and to grow for the future. So this is history class. Thank you for coming. Our outline this morning will follow, just like class, 3 assignments, 2 tests, and 1 final. All right, 3 assignments, 2 tests, and 1 final. So hope you're taking notes well. If you're following along with me, we're going to walk through Deuteronomy 2, chapter 2 and chapter 3 this morning. And so if you would keep your Bibles open, I do have some verses here. I don't have everything, so I'm going to make references and read quite a bit of scripture. But if you would kind of follow along with me and track with me, I'm going to kind of go in order here and move pretty quickly because there's a lot to cover this morning. So you ready for your first assignment? The first assignment that Moses talks about. They've been walking through this a number of regions here, and this is kind of a map of the area. And so you see Egypt all the way to your left. The wilderness is where they have been walking. And then they're going to kind of move through the region to, again, east of the Jordan River here. And this is where Moses, the star here that I have, is where Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. And he reminds them that we've been given these assignments to travel. And as we walk through some of these things, we'll see how the Israelites moved through this area. We begin in chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, that says this. And command the people, saying, you will pass through the territory of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful. Do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as little as a footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money, so that you may eat, and you shall also purchase water from them with money, so that you may drink. And so as the people of Israel are walking out of the wilderness now, kind of follow this arrow that I'm going to have throughout this map, they're walking through this first region called Edom. And God instructs them to be very careful, actually, as you walk through. Don't provoke them. Don't take anything that is not of yours. And if you need anything, if you need food, if you need water, purchase from them. Buy it. We have to remember that the people here of God are large. You can't hide this amount of people as they are walking through the desert. There's about 2.5 million of them. And so as they are traveling through, they are forced to be reckoned with. But God calls them, be mindful of those around you, at least in these territories, and be careful. If you need something, buy it. Be at peace with those that you walk with here. Second assignment is very similar. Verse 9 says, then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land as possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot as a possession. And the second region that they travel through is called Moab. It's almost the same instructions as before. Don't bother these people in this region. Don't move along a different path. Stay along the path that I have given to you. These instructions are very clear, and he wants him to walk as he travels through Moab. The third assignment, very similar as well, verse 19 of chapter 2. When you come opposite the sons of Ammon, do not harass them nor provoke them, for I will not give you any of the land of the sons of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot as a possession. And so very similar to the previous regions, Edom, Moab, and now Ammon, do not provoke these people. Their land is for them. It's not for these people of Israel. Be mindful of them. Take care as you walk through. And wow, we've traveled pretty far in the first 10 minutes of this message, right? Moving, 2.5 million people is pretty easy, actually. You kind of have this map, and that's it. They're there. Look, it's kind of cool. They traveled a great distance, but God is reminding them in these 3 assignments, that they have strict directions to follow. And the people do as God says here. And Moses helps them remind them that God has given us specific ways to travel, specific things to do for a purpose, for a reason. And as they travel, don't cause problems, don't cause issues. Be mindful of the people in this region, in these regions. And so what's the point? Why do you think Moses brought these things up? And why did he talk about kind of these aspects? You know, what do these assignments really lead to? What's the lesson here? And as Moses talks, as we imagine him discussing and giving this his own sermon, his own message, he kind of breaks up the pattern a little bit in discussing and recalling these travels that he has. If you turn with me to verse 7 of chapter 2, I believe I have it here. Moses says this. Verse 7 says, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing." And in this short verse, this little interruption that Moses puts here, kind of at the beginning of our passage this morning, he wants them to know, he wants them to remember that this is the God that they have believed in. This is the God that has provided for them throughout all these travels. Through the three locations, the three assignments that he has given to them, he's very specific. But he wants them to remember that in these travels, in this time, you have not lacked anything. God has provided. God has been the one to give them these things, give them everything that they need. And he almost alludes that in every step, in every action, in all these specific instructions, God has been there. And you might have been wandering through this desert, as Moses describes, but God has never left your side. It might seem like you have been traveling great distances and doing just walking endlessly, aimlessly even, but God knows. And God has been there. God really, in essence, has been faithful to you. And he wants them to remember that. He wants them to understand that, that God has been with them every step of the way to provide. You have lacked nothing. And this verse and this statement stands out amongst the description of the entire journey here as Moses breaks it up and again emphasizes this idea, recognizes this God that they have come to believe in, have come to follow. Each and every step, each and every specific instruction, God has been faithful to them. This is why their assignments are so specific. This is why God instructs them to do these specific things as he walks through this region. We continue on in this map. Now we're gonna move to the two tests that we have. You ready for a test? The first test here breaks up the pattern of our assignments. God has been asking specifically for the people to be mindful as they walk. Now it's time for battle. Now it's time to fight. And in this first test, Moses says this, reminds them in verse 24 of chapter 2. He says, "Arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Ammon. Look, I've given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle." And this is the first test for the Israelites to really engage people. And what happens here, if I may summarize a little bit, the end of chapter 2, Moses actually gets a chance to send out messengers to speak to this king. And the message here sounds very much like what God has been telling him. "King, may we pass through your land. We will not deviate from a path. We will not do anything to harm you. We will not provoke you. We will not harass you. Just let us walk through this land. We are heading towards the promised land." Unfortunately, the king refuses. In verse 30, we find that the king, Sihon, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to pass through his land. "For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to deliver him into your hand as he is today." And as a result of this, response by the king, they go to battle. And in this city, the city of Jahaz, Israel fights the people, the Amorite people here. And guess what happens? Israel wins easily, handedly. And it's not just one city, but the entire region. From valley to valley, every city in the area is taken down. Verse 36 says this of chapter 2, "There was no city that was too high for us. The Lord, our God, delivered all over to us." God had given the Israelites victory in this first test, in this first battle, as they move through this region here. Second test, as we continue to move on. They're moving fast. Chapter 3 now, verse 1 says, "Then we turned and went up to the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with all his people came out to meet us in battle at Edrei." So Israel has moved up further now, further north, to fight another king, another group here. And in the second test, this battle is more in the northern region. We're kind of seeing Israelites move, but also seeing God's hand moving with his people in this way. And the same results happen from the first battle in this second test as well. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 say this, "So the Lord our God delivered Og also, king of Bashan, with all his people into our hand, and we smote them until no survivor was left. We captured all the cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan." And just like that, Israel began to take control over the region, over the area. And we see God giving them great victory over the people that they're encountering, that he has called them to battle. And the pattern here in these tests, in these battles, we see God promises great victory before even war begins. We see that God's hand of power is moving through, and he's promising them that they are going to win even before engaging these people. That's what Moses alludes to as he, again, helps them remember these battles, these tests. God tells them, "I have given you this land. I have delivered his people and his land into your hand." These are the verses that we just read here. And Moses points out that a God that fulfills his promises by giving you victory, by helping you win, God has done all these things. And the test here, really, is if the people will believe that this is a God of promises, that he's going to fulfill his promises. And thankfully, he does. Over and over, we see that victories as a result of God being with them and right by their side, helping them win, helping them take over the land that God has promised to them. "The Lord our God delivered him over to us. The Lord our God delivered Og also, king of Bashan." And these quotes here, again, are a reminder that it was God who brought victory. It was God's powerful hand who has helped lead this people through these battles. Moses wants to remind his people that God has made great promises, and he provides a way for them to see it through, to battle alongside them. And they recognize this. They see that this is only God's hand has been able to do this. We read this morning from chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Right, gives us a great picture of the kind of God that has walked with them, this battle with them. It says, "I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, 'Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So the Lord shall do to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you.'" And the opportunity here for Moses to again recall is not just these past victories that God has done, but in this verse, he alludes to the future. That as the Israelites have walked through, as they have battled, as they have won, that this is the kind of God that's going to continue to help them win as they cross over, as they continue to fight. God is going to be right by their side. God is going to fight for them. We begin to see that this is the God who should be recognized as the one who has great power in the promises that he makes, in the promises that he has given to his people to fight for them, to fight alongside them. And he will fulfill those promises with action and with great results. I think much more than even the Israelites could fathom, that they would take over these cities, that they would take over this region and take possession of this land. That's kind of tests that these Israelites have been going through, walking through. And of course, we come to our final project. And I think if you think about a class, you have to consider all that you've learned in the semester, all the assignments, all the tests that you have lead up to this one final thing, this one final project, perhaps, this one final test. And I think if you think a lot of how finals work, you take everything that you've learned and you now apply it. And so sometimes professors and teachers will put a twist on that last test, right? They kind of throw you off a little bit, like, I've learned all this stuff, but now it's time to apply all these things. And the way our passage works this morning here, there's a little twist at the end too, with this transparency that Moses gives to his people as he speaks to them. He kind of off the cuff talks about this desire in his heart, this longing for something more. And rather than instructions and results that we talked about, you know, instructions to walk through this land, instructions to go to battle with these people, we see these direct results that the people were taken care of, they were given provisions, they're given victory as God gives instructions to them. This last one really is results first, before instruction. It kind of flips things on its head, kind of is a different way to look at all that God has been trying to teach them, all that God is trying to remind his people about. And so in chapter 3, verse 23 and 25, it says this. This is Moses speaking again. I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you've begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. And Moses takes the chance right here to talk openly and honestly about his desire. And it's almost a plea to say, God, you have talked about this promised land with me at the beginning of my ministry, the beginning of my leadership. Give me a chance to walk in there. Give me a chance to cross over as you promised. And for those of you who might not remember or might not know, Moses never gets to cross over. But we see his heart here. We see his desire here. And instead of remembering God's faithfulness and powerful promises that he has talked about, Moses' heart and his intention is set on the results, is set in the promised land that he's been hearing about all this time. Right? Moses even says himself, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. If Moses had paused there, if he stopped there, I think that would have been fine. But he continues, right? If you would allow me to enter this land that has been promised. And we see Moses' almost greatest desire here in wanting the results first, rather than wanting just God. And I think that's a great lesson here as well. That is God enough? The faithfulness that God has provided from the beginning of chapter 2, the power that he displayed in his promises, is that enough for you? And I think for Moses to say these things here, we have to see that maybe he wanted more than just God. He wanted the blessings. He wanted the end result. And that was driving him to say these things to his God. And I think also here in this last point that we see, what we see in here is God as a God of grace as well. God does not end Moses' life at this point. He does not stop him from doing ministry. He actually gives him this step of grace in verse 27. And he gives Moses a glimpse of the promised land. He says, walk up to this hill. This is probably one of the best views that you will see. The opportunity to see this land. And God gives him that chance to say, I will show you this land, but you will not be able to cross. But it is God's grace to even give Moses a view of that. God furthers that grace, though, in verse 28, this idea. This idea that Moses is supposed to charge his successor. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of his people, and he will give them as an inheritance the land which you will see. God still chose to use Moses to pass on God's greater plan. And I think in this way, God builds up the character of Moses. The chance to say, or the opportunity to challenge Moses to say, you're not going to get the results that you think you deserve, but your successor will. And God says, I want you to train him. I want you to encourage him, strengthen him to do your job. Because God's plan is greater. God's purposes are mightier. And I think beyond what even Moses thought he deserved or thought he was going to obtain, God says, no, I'm going to give that to your successor. You train him. And the God of grace is gracious here still. I know that might sound fair, but God is still gracious because he still uses Moses to train, to serve, to strengthen. Even though Moses might have a different perspective, a different attitude, his perspective might be on the results ahead of him of what he wants rather than just on God. But God still chooses. And God, I think, teaches in this act, this opportunity, the humility that Moses needed to have. He needed to hear. And so God is gracious in the way that he trains his people. He is gracious to his servant by still using him for his greater purpose. Because God's plan was to cross over, to be with the people, to choose them, to continue to move into the promised land and to take over that area. In this result, we are reminded that despite our flaws, God still uses us. God still can use us to carry out his plans and purposes. And although we might be results-driven or results-focused, that God still recognizes us and still uses us. So let's not lose sight of simply recognizing who God is for what he has done. Because we can get so easily caught up in the results in the future. And I just want to take a moment right here, right now, before we close an application, just to pause and to give glory to God for who he is. I know we walked through a lot. There's been a lot of information here. But I hope that you can see that in every step, in the assignments, in the tests, in the final project that we talked about, that God is a God of faithfulness. God is a God who is powerful in his promises. And God is a God of grace in our lives. I think it's too easy as we kind of started us off with history to say, what can I learn? What can we gain from this? How do I learn from my mistakes? I want to flip that a little bit this morning. And I want us to realize that history in itself, too, can be an opportunity to be reminded of who God is. And in these steps, in this way that Moses walked through where they had been, it was God all along who was constant. It was God all along who was faithful, who fought for them and displayed his grace. And so I want to give you a chance to recognize that. Pause and give God glory for these areas, for these aspects, these characteristics of who he is. I think so often as people, we forget to just do that. So it was a quick few seconds just to kind of consider these things, to reflect. How has God been faithful to you? How has he displayed his power in your life? And how has he been gracious to you?